For this morning's reading, I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first 11 verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Thank you, Jerry. Seems like there's some new features that just made themselves available in my software. And I not noticing that. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to the beginning. There we go. Well, I can honestly say that I've had several different hats that I've worn in my lifetime, several different jobs since I was just a little kid. By far, excuse me, the most difficult, the hardest job that I've ever had to do was that of being a parent. And that wasn't because my children were necessarily any more difficult than anyone else's children. It's because the nature of this job forces us to look beyond ourselves in a way that no other experience on earth can do. You see, when we look outside and we see the way that the earth was created, that ought to be enough right there to humble us. But some of us, that doesn't work. For some of us. When we open God's Word and we read what He's done for us, that ought to be enough to humble us. Sometimes that's not enough for some of us. When we enter into a marriage relationship and we deal with that relationship, that ought to be enough to humble us. For some, that's not enough. But when you have a child, if you're not humbled, I really don't know what else is left. That may be the most humbling thing that a person can experience. Because of the gravity of the situation, you have brought upon not just yourself, the decision that you have made together with your spouse through the miracle that God has granted you has just now forced a living soul to have to make a decision about his Lord. That is an awesome responsibility. Parenting is not for cowards. That was a title of a popular book several years ago. I believe that phrase to be true. I've always believed that statement to be true. And I think maybe today even more so than as when I was a child. And I know my mom had her challenges. It takes courage to be a parent to your children, to truly invest yourself in the process of shaping, instructing, guiding your children in a constructive and a productive life. And to say it's hard work, as I mentioned before, is a gross understatement. The awesome responsibility that we have is to bring a child up in such a way that they will accept their Lord. That is the number one priority. Parenting has not always been valued. We live in a world, in a society right now, that by and large does not value what the family contributes. It does not see as important the relationships in a family. And it doesn't look to God's Word as guidance for what that family and those relationships should be. In other words, we're kind of an island in the middle of a vast sea floating here when we try to be a good parent. But this has been the case for centuries. You see the quote I have up behind me. Plato thought that it would be better if every child were taken away from its parents and raised by the all-wise state for the purposes of promoting being a good citizen and for the health of the republic. Things don't change over the years, do they? Just recently, in our history, a very famous quote, but carries much the same idea, that this task of raising children is not one that is just given to parents as God has given it to them, but it should be a partnership, a cooperation, in which the government is a important part. Well, even though some people are confused, make no mistake, God is absolutely clear about who the responsibility for raising children is. And we need to keep that foremost in our mind. Fathers, God requires this primarily of you. When standing in front of God Almighty on the judgment day, you're not going to have time to contact your senator and ask about the latest mandated curriculum to make sure that it covered everything that God wanted you to tell your child. Your local school teacher, your local daycare worker is not going to be held accountable by the Lord You are. Dads, you are the one that God has given this responsibility to. In that passage that we just looked at there, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, we find something interesting here. We find a commandment to children. Children are to obey their parents. Parents, we need to make sure our children can obey us. Do we want to be guilty of keeping our children from obeying the Lord? Do we want to be what's standing in the way of our children being able to honor the command for them to obey the Lord? Unless we teach them what obedience is, we are doing just that. We must teach our children what obedience is. How does God tell fathers to do this? He tells them to do two main things. To nurture, because we're to bring up our children in the nurture. And then he says the admonition. Nurture, meaning to educate, train. By implication, it's disciplinary correction. Chastening, chastisement, instruction. Action, taking action when our children need to be corrected. Changing their behavior, changing their attitude, changing the way they're looking at things at the time. This is nurture. And then admonition. Admonition is calling to attention. It's a rebuke. It's a warning. It's an instruction about what to do that's right. So we have two things. We have nurture, which is taking action. We have admonition, which is supplying the words, the knowledge. God wants us to do both of those things, not one to the exclusion of the other. So who do we go to for our parenting advice? Are we going to go to Dr. Spock, who tells us that children need to be left alone, left to their own devices, and if we're just nice enough to them as they're growing up, then eventually they're going to understand what they should do, and we can reason with them to help them become what they need to be? That's the kind of advice that we're going to get from the world. Imagine not being able to use all the tools that it took to build a house. What if you were asked to build a house, but you couldn't use a hammer, couldn't use a nail gun, you couldn't use a screwdriver, you couldn't use a saw, but I tell you what, this handy square over here works really well. Why don't you go out and build a house with a square? That is the same way we are being told to raise our children by the world. We're told that we shouldn't use all the tools that God has given us and instructed us on how to use. We're told that we're to just use one or two things, and if we just use those well enough and have patience enough, we can build what we need to build. In the headlines recently are several arguments against parents using spanking or corporal punishment of any kind. Now, I can understand why people react this way. As a high school teacher, as a high school counselor for 20-some years, I saw people that came into my office who were beaten black and blue. It was an absolute horrible shame. Despicable. I saw children who came into my office who were afraid to go home. Not just because they wouldn't be able to get to use their Nintendo, because the Nintendo may be thrown against their face. I saw children who were repeatedly told that they were worthless, that they would never amount to anything, that they were a mistake. And it tears at your heart. I understand why some people react the way they do to this idea. But to throw out something that God has given us as a tool and even instructs us on how to use is going to the other extreme. I also have seen children who have been parented. Let me take that back. They have been allowed to raise themselves without parenting. Equally as sad. They have no respect for authority. They have no appreciation for the value of their property or anyone else's. For them to understand what it means to obey is a foreign concept. For that person to finally come to obedience to the Lord is going to be a long, long, hard road. It's sad. It's pathetic. So what I'm proposing today for you to consider is not either of those extremes. It's not the harshness and the abuse, the physical abuse. It's not just the rainbows and ponies and butterflies, if I just think it hard enough, it'll happen approach. It's the approach that I believe the Father in heaven, who created us to help us understand ourselves, shared with us in His Word how to approach discipline of our children. And we are going to be in the minority if we view the Bible this way. This comes close to home. If you go to Children's Mercy Hospital, you go in the lobby, you're going to see one of these posters. Now again, I am not bad-mouthing the people who work with children and help them get well. And they're very well-meaning people may believe that this is going to help curb the abuse of children. But to go as far as to keep someone from reprimanding their child with a pat on the bottom appears to me to be going a little bit too far, taking away the responsibility and the rights of a parent. And it gets worse. There are those who have dedicated their whole lives, organizations such as this, to abolishing the right of any parent on the whole planet. And if they believed there was life on other planets, they'd probably try to negotiate that as well, to be able to use the tools that God has given a parent to discipline their children. This happens to be just one of many examples. This organization's main focus is to try to pass legislation at the state and national levels and international levels through the UN to keep parents from being able to discipline their children with any sort of physical or corporal punishment. So it's out there, it's prevalent. In fact, more than 20 countries right now, mostly in Europe, have already banned corporal punishment of children in all settings, including the home. And as we mentioned, the UN Convention on the Rights of a Child, that's its proposal, and the push of many to get this ratified across all of the UN members. So there is definitely a push to change the way in which we are allowed to exercise our parental responsibility. Imagine planting a garden. And in that garden, you have, with care, placed the seeds or the tubers that you want to grow into your plants. And then promptly turning around and leaving that garden alone. No pruning, no weed pulling, no thinning out, no watering. All we're going to do is just sit back and let that garden grow. That's what some people would like us to do with their children. Not what the Lord had in mind. In fact, some would have us believe that disciplining our children is a lack of love. But it's absolutely, positively the opposite of that. As Jerry read for us, discipline is love. Discipline is love. The Lord chastens or disciplines whom He loves. He wants us to be better than we are. He doesn't want us to be drugged down with the weight of sin. So He chastens us in all different ways, through His Word, through life experiences. He chastens us so that we'll be something better than what we were before. Is it painful? Does our guilt get to us when we read His Word and we compare ourselves and we notice that we're not doing what we're supposed to do? That can be painful. The way He's created life and the world and allowed things to happen in it, there are painful things that teach us lessons. It's because He loves us. Proverbs, the 13th chapter, tells us that he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The true test of a parent is not going to be if you can buy him Nike shoes. It's not going to be if they have a whole dresser top full of little trophies. It's not going to be if you got them into the very best college. It's not going to be any of those things. That's not the true test. The true test is if you love them enough to do what it takes to help them know the Lord. Godly discipline is not violence. It's not. Now, that's what you're going to hear from those who oppose it. They're going to cast anyone who wants to use all these forms of discipline that God has given us, including spanking. They're going to cast us as child abusers. That is absolutely not what the Bible teaches. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." In other words, this is not to be the kind of punishment that's going to cause damage. Using the chastening rod corrects the behavior. It doesn't damage the body. And contrary to what some might teach, it doesn't damage the psyche either. To be corrected does not damage the psychology of a child. "You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." There's the purpose. There's the goal. Ephesians 6 and 4, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." You're not to use discipline methods. You're not to chastise your child in such a way that he's going to be damaged emotionally, physically, provoked to wrath. That is not what's being taught here. Godly discipline is not retribution. When you discipline your child, it's not because they did that and they deserve this punishment I'm about to give them. That is not at all the reason that God chastises us. That will come. There will be a day when retribution will be given, and God will be the one that gives it, not you or I. But until that day, God doesn't even treat us that way, does he? The chastisement is to help us avoid, escape hell. And that should be our reasoning for chastening our children. It's correction, not retribution. As Jerry just read in the 11th verse of the Hebrews 12, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the goal. That's the purpose for the chastisement. The Lord understands our nature in a way that none of us could ever understand ourselves or understand our children. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God knows more about us than we do? Or do we believe that a psychologist or a sociologist or a medical doctor or a talk show host or any number of other people who are giving free advice on how to be a parent know about that job? Here's what God says about a child. This is not some sadistic man that's sitting in a room trying to think of all ways to be evil toward children. This is the God who created them, that understands them inside and out, and this is what he says about them. The rod and the rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I have seen that over and over again. Sitting in my office, sassing back his mother, calling her names. She sits there like a coward, not knowing what to do or not willing to do it. By the time they're 15 years old, I don't know what to tell the mom to do. But it's sad. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. The rod of correction. That's those action words that we talked about. That's part of the nurturing. It's the correcting. It's the changing, the attitude, changing the direction of that child's behavior. But notice it says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And if we're really honest with ourselves and we watch our children and we think back of when we were children, can we honestly say that that is not true? God says it is. For us to believe that a child left alone is its best parent is foolishness. The Lord knows what's best. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We read that a moment ago. 19 and 18 says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. While there's hope, do something while you can do something. While they're of an age where you can make a difference, do it. Don't let that opportunity go by. Correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Oh, how much more peaceful your life and your home and the life of your neighborhood, perhaps, is going to be if you will take this instruction from the Lord and take it seriously. Some of the reasons that we have to discipline. Discipline, including corporal punishment, spanking, teaches obedience when reason will not work. I'm sorry, you cannot reason with a 2-year-old about the virtues of not going to the street. You can try, but you're not going to get through. God did not make them at 2 years old to understand everything that they needed to understand. That's why he made you as a parent, to protect them and to help them grow and develop. You've got to do your part. It teaches obedience. And corporal punishment is one of those tools that God has given us and instructed us to be able to use, to be able to teach that. Discipline can be used to take action to stop dangerous or destructive behavior. When a child does not understand what they're about to do, to promote socially acceptable behavior, so your little Johnny is not a terror everywhere he goes. Oh, there they come. Hide. I think you've probably met some kids like that. I know I have. Is that the way we want to present our family to others? To extrinsically shape behavior to promote self-discipline. The child is not in and of themselves going to want to do everything that they need to do. We've already established that. So it takes something from the outside to change and to teach. And it's more than just a mm-mm-mm. Because if mm-mm-mm has never been something more than a wagging finger, that mm-mm-mm is nothing to them. Absolutely nothing. You could try the yelling approach. I'm sure you've seen that used before. You could try the escalation approach. Johnny, come back from the street now. Johnny, come back from the street. I'm going to count to three. What Johnny learns every time you do that is that he's got till three before anything's going to happen, if indeed you follow through then. From 1 to 3 seconds, he could already be hit by the truck. Is that what we want? Or does Johnny have to somehow decipher the pitch of our voice? The higher our pitch, is he going to know that we really mean it now? But just when we ask him to do it, he knows he's got a few more chances. Not only is that dangerous, it's upsetting to the peace of the home. Godly discipline sets clear boundaries and enforces them. Children want boundaries. Children need boundaries. We need boundaries. But children want boundaries. If we set no boundaries, if all we do is follow our child to keep them from being killed and letting them do whatever they want to do, there's no boundary, there's no structure, there's no, here's the limit, child, don't cross it. And they're going to continually be trying to find where that is unless you help them see it, unless you set it. And perhaps most importantly of all, reason to discipline is to model our Heavenly Father's discipline toward us. How in the world are we going to help explain the relationship we have with God if we don't teach them what that relationship is with us? But I just don't like to get in an argument. I don't like that confrontation. I don't like it. Confrontation is not your enemy. Confrontation is your opportunity to teach all of these things that your child needs to be learning. The next time there is a test of the wills, please don't take the advice that your child will grow out of it in 3 years. Set the boundary. Use it as an opportunity to teach them there is a right and a wrong. That everything they want to do isn't right. There is such a thing as a right or a wrong. There's somebody bigger and wiser than you are, kid. Because that's what I have to know and believe, isn't it? It's better to trust my parents even if I don't understand why. Lord, why did this happen to me? Why? I just need to trust. And my child can learn that kind of trust from me if I exact it from them. There are consequences for disobedience. And I don't like suffering the consequences. What an important lesson that is. I'm in control of my behavior. Wow. That one, maybe of all lessons, is being neglected by so many people in our society. Personal responsibility. I can control my own behavior. You might be surprised at how many kids come and sit in my office and how many parents come along and confer with this statement. Mr. Clevenger, I just can't help myself. I can't behave that way in this class. I can't do it. Well, the first thing I look at them and say is, you just told yourself a lie. But they've been brought up to believe that. They cannot control their own behavior. They can't control their own emotions. Teaching your children that they can do this, and that it's important for them to do this, and that you trust them to be able to do this, is a fundamental parental responsibility. You also are going to be able to teach them that they can be forgiven. Remember, we said that punishment or correction or discipline is not retribution. It's forward-looking, it's correction, it's changing the behavior so you can be better. We can model the same thing with our children. Some of the most teachable moments, some of the most tenderest and closest moments that you may ever be able to have with your child is right after a godly correction. When you have a humble and you have a contrite heart, when you have a child that is seeking for approval, when you have a child that wants to maintain the relationship with you and wants your forgiveness, here's how you can model our Heavenly Father to them. They can know what grace is. They can know what forgiveness is. And they can learn that through obedience to you. God doesn't leave us as parents without tools. He doesn't just give us a kid and then say, good luck. There's all kinds of instruction, and we've just scratched the surface on what the scriptures say about parenting, but we have tools. Prayer. We can pray for peace. God has promised to give us his peace. We can pray for wisdom to know what to do in situations regarding our children. And he's promised to give us wisdom. We can look at his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's valuable for reproof, for instruction, correction, and righteousness. God's word is our manual. And we can look to other Christians for that experience to help. And might I say, if you're not a parent right now, you can still help. If you've been a parent, you can help. If you've not a parent, never been a parent, may not ever be a parent, you can help to encourage parents to stand up and be a godly parent. You can compliment those who do it well. If you have had children in the past, you can share some of the things that worked for you, some of the things that helped. I believe that's what God wants the church to do. We need to be about the business of helping one another do that. Because the ultimate goal is that child's soul. So being a good parent necessarily involves discipline. Using discipline in a godly way has a variety of tools, one of which is corporal punishment. Please do not allow the world to take away a valuable tool. Please do not allow the wisdom of friends or others that you might be surrounded with, or maybe the embarrassment, to take away one of the things God has given you that's very effective. I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm not saying that that's the only thing you should use. I'm saying don't throw it out of your toolbox, because it is very effective. These are the things that our child needs to know. Needs to know who God is. Needs to know about justice, mercy, and grace. Needs to know about faith. He needs to know about repentance, submission, obedience, self-control. Needs to have a sense of purpose. A godly parent who exercises godly discipline has the opportunity to teach all of those things to his child. That's the way our Father does to us. And that's what we want for our children. If you're here this morning, you're outside of the body of Christ. God is wanting to be your Father. He's wanting to have that relationship as a child. He calls you to do that. And He wants to show His love towards you. He's done that by offering His Son as a sacrifice on your behalf, where you can find grace and mercy and peace. If you're subject to His call this morning, we'd like to help you with that as we stand and sing.